Hello, welcome to our broadcast. I'm Mark Rumfellow. I pastor Grace Believers Bible Church, and our church is responsible for bringing this broadcast of Under the Radar to you. I want to thank you for joining me and appreciate the fact that you're tuned in. I know we have some viewers that tune in regularly with us. We've heard from some of you, and I appreciate that. Others I know are out there. You know, I think we come across very simplistic. I think we come across very elementary in this, that we don't have a big stage production here. We don't have raise-a-thons that we try to hook you into. If we get your name, number, and address, we're more interested in making sure you have the tools like a King James Bible available to read and study on your own, that you have access to our church. You're more than welcome to visit us or be a part of our fellowship. We don't have all the glamour that the big boys do. And really, in honesty, if you're wondering how Under the Radar came about, I gave it that name because that's how we come to you, is Under the Radar. We didn't come across with any fake props and promotions and do a call-a-thon, and I have all my friends calling in offering $500,000 fake calls that goes on all the time. We'll let that alone. But nonetheless, we just come to you about with the Word of God. So it's me, you, in God's Word, King James Bible. We read it, we study it, and we try to draw something each and every week that our broadcast is broadcast. We try to draw, glean something of the truth there so we can either be saved. Maybe there's someone there that isn't familiar with salvation. I will present that today. Maybe there's someone that's saved there and you're confused. I'll address some things that'll help straighten things out as we go along. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're going to be reading. Paul writes an interesting few verses here that I'd like to read and then move on from there. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul writes this: "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." So Paul knew that there were those that would come to Corinth after he had left there preaching the gospel and teaching them, that they would come in and present something else, and sure enough, they did. And so word got back to Paul about, hey, we got some guys there troubling our Corinthian brethren with some stuff that you didn't teach, and they're saying that they're right and you're wrong. And so Paul is kind of addressing this in that regard, in that if there's one that comes that preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received, and the spirit there is a small s, meaning it implies words, the preaching of words. It's not a Holy Spirit type thing, an entity, a person. It's words. Which you've not received, or another gospel, which you've not accepted. Well, they're coming there, and they're talking about Jesus. They're giving you great speeches, oral presentations are being delivered, and a different gospel than Paul preached. And so Paul says, "But I fear," this is in verse 3, "lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, as I talk with people over the years, I find that there's a tremendous amount of negative attitude towards the Bible. Now, part of that is by the fact that the King James Bible is a holy book, therefore your holy Bible. It's without error. It gives a description of a holy and just God, a good God. It gives commands and laws, and it's a very deep book. I mean, it is pretty complicated. Other things are very simplistic. And that's what Paul was addressing. But what I find are there are a lot of people that have a very negative attitude about the Bible and wanting to discuss it. Part of that is based upon conviction of individuals. When I go and I start talking to people and, you know, addressing things about the Bible, you know, that conversation comes around like, political conversation, sport conversation. Well, religious or Bible conversation comes around, and I start addressing those things, and I find many times there are people that are very negative-minded about it. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about that book. I don't believe in that book, and things of that nature. And part of that is basically their conviction. I mean, we're all sinners. We know we have a God watching over us, and the last thing we want to do is hear from that God. I mean, that's the phone call we didn't want to get, right? And that's exactly, so the best thing to do, you can't shut God up. You can't destroy the book. The devil's tried it. He can't do it. So what do? You shut the preacher up. Well, you can do that. You can tell him, be quiet. I don't want to hear it. I'll walk away. Well, some of that is based upon conviction. They're guilty of having done something, or they're guilty of doing something, or they're guilty because they know they're going to do something, and so they don't want to hear it. However, I also find another group of people that are not interested because they were involved in church, they were committed, they were dedicated, they were raised up in it, a lot of tradition there, mom and dad went there, sisters and brothers, relatives, friends, and they were brought up in it, and they just did not ever feel that the preacher connected the Bible the way it should be connected. And within their own mindset, their own understanding, they knew some things were amiss concerning the truth that should be presented. So they had these complicated questions. And what happens is you get caught up in all the peripherals that a church offers. Like some churches have golf teams, baseball teams, basketball teams, sewing clubs, shopping clubs, bowling league, youth choir, senior choir. They have all this and you get caught, well, you belong to a club. At that point, it goes from church to club. And so you get caught up in it. But you can't get away from the center point. What is that? The truth pertaining to God. What is it? What does the preacher preach? You've got to keep that your focal point. Now, I run across people who don't want to hear about the Bible because they were in that and found it very disturbing that the preacher was not fluid in the teaching. He'd preach one message this week, and the next week he'd preach a message that was contrary to that. And it plays on you. So they just got frustrated and leave out. I address a lot of people concerning that. So what we try to do is take what the Bible says, rightly divide it, and make sense of it. Now, your preacher may have addressed the phraseology of rightly dividing the Word of God. There's a very high-profile preacher in our city now that I hear him say, rightly divide the Word of truth. And so consequently, I listen to his messages, and he's on spot, and closes out with a bad closing, contrary to rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so your preacher can say it, but that doesn't mean he's preaching it. So then, with that said, Paul had these Corinthians that he was worried about, that their mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So we want to look at some things as to what is difficult. In other words, if there's something simple there, which is a simplicity that was in Christ, then there must have been something complicated. If you would, if you have your Bible, and of course, if you don't have a Bible, have a pencil and a paper, and write down the scripture references as we go through. Look in Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Now, I have written on the board before we got started here, Exodus chapter 20, marked by the X there on the left-hand side. And that represents when Moses got the law. And he began writing the law in Exodus 20, and it became a book of the law. It wasn't just 10 quick steps on how to please God. It wasn't 10 commandments. It was an entire book. And so consequently, what he is saying in Deuteronomy is that it will be their righteousness condition. if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God. So it was possible for an individual to obtain righteousness, their own righteousness, by keeping these laws. That's a challenge. That's the hard part. I want to show you a man that met it. In Philippians chapter 3, if you would join me in Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writing to these Philippians, and what he is writing here is kind of like, look what I accomplished. He's basically saying, look, I know you got some guys there, they're talking big stuff about things that they accomplished. Well, if they think they accomplished some heady, high-minded stuff in their flesh, let me lay on the table what I accomplished before I was a Christian. And so, consequently, he writes these down in Philippians 3, verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Then obviously, Paul was a keeper of the commandments. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. It shall be our righteousness if we do all these things that the Lord had commanded us. Well, Paul got on with the program. Paul gave everything he could in keeping the law and keeping the tradition of his fathers, the Jews. And so he boasts about that as far as what he accomplishes there in verses 4, 5, and 6. But he didn't finish up there. He wrote something interesting, and what he wrote next is after his salvation. That salvation can be read in Acts chapter 9, so when you have the opportunity, go to Acts chapter 9 and see his salvation take place there. So this, the next verses we're reading, is after his salvation. In verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now when he says what things were gained for me, he's referring to those verses in 4, 5, and 6, all that he accomplished in his flesh, those were gained to him. Then he says, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, his focus now is on Christ, because now he's a Christian. And he says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, all that he accomplished in all the years of being the Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. All of those things. And I find it ironic. One of the credits that he puts to his flesh is concern and zeal persecuting the church. In other words, he's saying, I was so zealous of God that I put people to death in my zeal, thinking that I'm doing God's service. That was his zeal. I mean, you can't find zeal with the people of God today anymore. Those that are saved don't have that kind of zeal for God. Paul did, but it was wrong. He was persecuting the wrong bunch. He was killing the wrong bunch. When Jesus appeared unto him, the Lord in a glorified glow there said, why persecutest thou me? And Jesus, and Paul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why are you persecuting me? And then he realized, that the Lord that they had crucified, that was buried, had to be the Lord of Lords, because he's speaking to them, meaning he's raised from the dead. Only the Lord could fulfill that. And Paul got converted there on the road to Damascus and got saved in Acts chapter 9. And he said, all that I accomplished in the flesh, all that I accomplished, I count as loss for Jesus Christ. And do count it but dung. Dung can be a harsh word for waste, to garbage, to refuse. Whatever. It's stuff you don't want to keep around. I wonder who I'm speaking to, that you have developed a reputation for all the good that you've done. You get noted for it. You get rewarded for it. You get pats on the back. You got your name in the lights. All that you've done. It's interesting to note what Paul wrote about what should be our mindset today. What kind of mindset should we have? Paul wrote about it in Philippians chapter 2. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, be like-minded with your Lord and Savior. Have this mind, because this is the mind he had. What kind of mind did he have? In verse 6, he says, who, a reference to Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And many times Christ addressed the Pharisees saying that I and the Father are one. That before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews, oh, he couldn't take. This guy's equating himself to be God Almighty. Away with such a fellow. We can't have this man rule over us. In verse 7 he said, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, it's interesting about that obedience unto death. We're sinners by nature. We're born with sin in us. Well, where did that stem? Where's the root of that? Well, it goes back to Adam. Romans chapter 5 talks about it. It's interesting, as I said, that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. Adam, on the other hand, was disobedient and brought in death. Jesus Christ was obedient unto death and took death out of the way. Removed death from the believer's life. But this mind, being you, which was also in Christ Jesus, he said, but made himself of no reputation. Well, that tells me Jesus Christ had the opportunity to make himself of reputation. You see, the Apostle Paul had made himself of reputation before he was saved. If you wanted a man that was going to go and shut down a Christian church, that was going to go and persecute and hurt the Christians, they would dial up Saul. Who's Saul? Well, he became Paul the Apostle. His name was Saul before he got saved. So you'd call Saul. One called a Saul, that's all. And he would make the hit on that church. And that's what he did. Why? Because he was zealous about it. And he thought, that's doing God's service. Because that man, Jesus, was nothing but a rebel to our tradition. Tried to upset the tradition of my fathers, and that won't happen, and I'll put a stop to it for God's sake. Paul had a reputation. So he said, let this mind be in you. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. No reputation. It's interesting to note, in Ecclesiastes, the writer in Ecclesiastes writes something. If you have your Bible, once again, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We're talking about reputation. Paul had a reputation. Jesus Christ could have had a reputation, but made himself of no reputation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, says, dead flies cause the ointment of the hypocrisy to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know what he's saying? This flying ointment, the ointment gets bad, and then it stinks. It stinks, and it's no good. It's corrupted. It's corrupted. He said, so is the individual that has a reputation with wisdom and honor. Paul had wisdom and honor. He was a very learned man. And he had the honor of all of his brethren. I think there are people watching this broadcast that you've done the same thing. You're trying to get the honor of men. How do you do that? It's through religion. That's what Paul was a part of. He addressed it in Galatians 2, in the Jews' religion. Religion tries to give you a reputation. And you know what you have at the end of the day? A stench in the nostrils of a holy God. That's what is presented to God Almighty. If you're boasting and bragging about, oh, I don't do this, oh, I don't commit that sin, I don't go here, I don't go there, I confess my sins, I repent of my sins, I turn my life over to Jesus. Anytime I stumble, I go up front and I repent and I get rededicated, rebaptized. Re is also in the word tarded too. Retarded. You're held back. That's what retard means. To hold. You're held back. You're held back from the knowledge that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He counts all that stuff but dung. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Why? Because the Lord, he found out when he died on the cross, was dying for Paul's sins. He died for our sins. There's no room for you to glorify your flesh, make it look good. I mean, there are high profile preachers that have a reputation amongst their churches, amongst their denomination, in the world. And they're falling by the wayside all the time, getting caught in different situations, we shall say, compromised situations. It's not shocking to me that that happens. What's shocking to me is they avoided preaching the truth of the Word of God and then got caught. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart and had an affair with Bathsheba, a married woman. There's no excuse for it, but at least David was an integral man concerning his faith towards God Almighty. And God didn't kill him. According to the law, he should have died. The adulterer and adulteress should be put to death. Both of them. But David was faithful and he offered sacrifices. But I find it amazing how people today think this flesh can accomplish something by God, for God, and God looks down upon it and goes, oh, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Well, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. There's no boasting in our salvation. You see, Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation, he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, a man of reputation would never lay down his life like that. He's got too much to live for. Jesus Christ had too much to die for. And so he died for our sins. The salvation of the world was hinged upon this one man humbling himself as a servant to God Almighty, humbling himself before the Father, and going before men and subjecting himself to men, because he could have rose above the men that arrested him and the men that nailed him on the cross, and he didn't. That would establish a reputation for him. So he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and he went to that cross 1900 years ago to die for our sins. Your sins are not an issue right now. As you're watching this broadcast, you're trying to think, because you were raised in a religion, how can I accomplish the betterment of my life? How can I get out of this sin? I've got this addiction. I always commit this sin. This thing is bothering me. Well, you can break through right here, right now, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He died for all your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. That is the simplicity that is in Christ. You've taken the hard way highway. Why don't you just be limoed out of this world? You don't have to worry about nothing by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and gave Himself for you. He'll take you. When your heart makes that last beat, you'll be guaranteed to go up. As one preacher says, I'm not going to the undertaker. I'm going to the upper taker. The Lord will take you up. Be a part of that number when He calls by trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave Himself for you. He died for your sins. If you've trusted in Him and would like to let us know, please call us. If you get information and knowledge from our messages, call us and let us know. But I thank you for joining us, and until next time, good day.